Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which is the greeting of peace. Peace be with you. You are listening to the Dean Show Radio Show. You can catch us every week. For those who don't watch us on the TV, on the big screen, you can also listen to us on the radio show. We have all of our shows at thedeanshow.com. Tune in there. thedeenshow.com for the show times. And now today, hot in the news, one of the most famous actors in the world, Mel Gibson. And coincidentally, he's a Christian. He was the one who made the movie The Passion, who and what was talking about one who is beloved to our hearts, Jesus, peace be upon him, the movie that grossed over $600 million, I believe. And everyone knows Mel, but Mel's in some trouble. So we're going to be discussing the issue at hand that's all over the news with our guest, Dr. Sheikh Bilal Phillips, here on The Dean Show when we come back. Stay tuned.
I don't work around in tight clothes. I stay at home for most of the time.
You make a lot of public and it's a embarrassment to me. You look like a unheap. And if you get raped by a pack, it's your fault. All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay?
Back here on the Dean Show Radio Show with Sheikh Bilal Phillips. Sheikh, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Peace be with you.
Peace be unto you too.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much for finding the time. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Dean Show Radio Show.
My pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you very much. People can go to thedeanshow.com where they can click on your section, your personal section there, to read a little bit about you and to watch some of the shows that we've done with you in the past. Now today, hot in the news, Mel Gibson. His girlfriend caught him on tape making some very racist remarks, threatening to beat her up, using very foul language. So we want to discuss this. We know that all the messengers of God, they all brought the same way of life. They all call people to righteousness, to goodness, and it was built on the foundation of worshiping the one God alone and not his creation. So we want to reach out to the not yet Muslims, the non-Muslims out there, the Christians, the Jews, all of humanity. We want to share a little bit about what some of the messengers taught, because if they know these teachings, then racism would be eliminated from the picture. The abuse of women, wouldn't be there. And we'd all be worshiping the one God, and we'd be brothers in faith. So, Sheikh, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on all the prophets of Allah. If this had been a Muslim, you know, famous individual who made any kind of statements, regardless of the context, you know, then it would all become a Muslim thing. You know, and it's really par for the course that, you know, here is Mel, who was, you know, the representative of Christianity, defender of the faith, you know, protector of the message, you know, making all this personal sacrifice to make his movie The Passion out of his own pocket when nobody else wanted to take it on, and you know, then making the multimillions, very successful and everything else, you know, and so much a Christian, you know, but yet and still, this issue is in no way related back to Christianity. You know, it's just Mel ranting and raving again. You know, he's done it before, I guess, and, you know, yeah. I guess he'll do it again. You know, so, you know, this is something for people to reflect on, you know, why this doesn't, you know, is not reflected as a Christian thing, you know, because people know that the values of Christianity don't, you know, support this. That what he has said, what he has done, you know, is outside of the teachings, and so they will judge, you know, Christianity by its teachings and not by the leading figures who, you know, may be involved in all kinds of corruption, like the recent crackdown on the Catholic Church all around the world, you know, finding so many priests involved in all this kind of, you know, pedophilia. You know, this is after labeling Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, as a pedophile. Then, you know, the biggest branch of Christianity is exposed as a den of pedophilia.
Wow.
You know, Allahu Akbar. You know, wow. Allah just brings this thing right back to them. Those that spent all this time, you know, accusing the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, in a way which is so false, so distorted, you know, so Allah exposes them. You know, this is to show that, you know, this is really something endemic in their society, something which is, you know, a disease, which is, you know, fomenting, which they just can't control. It's rooted in their own religious traditions, you know, which is really sad, you know, that people just can't see wrong for wrong and deal with it, you know, and correct it, recognize the ills, etc., and not try to put a religious tone on it.
Yes. Sheikh, tell us now what really, when we look at Islam, it's a medicine for all the evil vices that are out there. It really brings a person's life to a whole new level of goodness, along with worshiping just the one God alone, and not a man or a monkey, not worshiping anything in creation, just the one God, the same God of Jesus, Abraham, Moses, and all the messengers. And then the teachings of Islam. And we know Islam simply means to acquire peace by submitting your will to the owner of peace, the one God. So now, racism. You hear in some of these tapes that people are going to get to hear this right now.
Angry reaction tonight to reports that Mel Gibson has been caught making another derogatory tirade, this one involving racist and sexist language. Eyewitness News reporter Leslie Miller is live in our satellite center with the fallout from Gibson's reported remarks. Leslie.
Mark, it's not the first time Mel Gibson's lethal language has gotten him into trouble. Remember that anti-Semitic tirade back in 2006? Well, now two entertainment websites are reporting that Gibson has done it again, this time hurling racist, sexist, and vile words at his former girlfriend and mother of his child, Oksana Grigorieva. Both TMZ and Radar Online claim they have heard the audio tapes where Mel Gibson allegedly unleashes on Oksana, calling her an embarrassment, using the N-word, and making misogynist remarks that ABC7 has chosen not to repeat. In another rant, Gibson allegedly threatens to burn down the house. The recordings were reportedly made by Oksana during a series of ugly arguments at the height of the couple's breakup and custody fight over their infant daughter. In 2006, Gibson unleashed an anti-Semitic tirade during his DUI arrest, calling a sheriff's deputy a vulgar name and saying, quote, "Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world." Gibson issued several public apologies for his remarks, claiming alcoholism had played a role. After keeping a low profile, it appeared Gibson was making his comeback in Hollywood. But if this latest outburst is true, will the public forgive him?
People who heard his tirade before and judged him will say, "See, I told you so. The guy's a bigot." People who really care about Mel will say, "What kind of state of mind is he in? Somebody get this guy help."
Neither TMZ or Radar Online have disclosed their sources, but they report the tapes are now in the hands of the judge in the couple's custody battle and are under seal.
It's clear that more and more in our society, public disclosure is a very dangerous and damaging weapon.
The NAACP is reacting to Gibson's alleged racist and profane rant, saying this time an apology just isn't enough.
He has to spend some years of doing some positive things for people in the community, for other folks, to show that he is not perhaps the racist or the sexist or anti-Semitic, as his actions tend to show.
Tonight, Gibson's representatives are not commenting on the purported tapes. Meanwhile, attorneys for both parties met for a closed-door hearing with the judge handling their child custody case. Attorneys are not commenting on that case, which remains sealed. Gibson and Grigorieva split last April.
Mel goes on to use the word, I can't even say it, the N-word. Now, we know as Muslims that you cannot enter paradise. You cannot be a true Muslim if you have any sense of racism in you. So what does Islam have to say about this issue?
Well, we know that Islam is very clear in stressing the humanity of all, where Allah, you know, describes how there are different colors in the mountains and the earth, and that in the cattle and in the human beings, and it's all a part of Allah's creation, you know, and that really the only criteria for greatness or superiority has to do with piety. You know, this is their basis for anybody being superior to anybody else. You know, this is what Islam stresses, you know. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, attacked this tendency amongst people whenever it showed up, you know, and it did occasionally pop its head up in his own time, and he dealt with it. And his companions, with the growth of their faith, you know, rejected these types of feelings, expressions, etc. So we know that from, you know, Islamic tradition, you historically have, you know, found a multiracial, a multicultural civilization, you know, quite distinct and different from, you know, other civilizations which tend to be ethnical, you know, people of one ethnic background, like the Chinese civilization or the Indian civilization or the European civilization. We talk about the Islamic civilization. This has nothing to do with Arabs or, you know, Africans or Asians. It is something universal. And that's the message of Islam, that, you know, there is one God who alone deserves to be worshipped. The religion of God was really only one religion. God only taught humankind from Adam and Eve one religion. He didn't teach them a whole bunch of religions. And it is because of the fact that there's only one human race. You know, all the divisions that human beings make amongst themselves, you know, dividing people into, you know, Negroid, Caucasoid, you know, and Mongoloid, and all these other kinds of stuff. This is all fake. Yeah. This is not real. You know, and we are one human race. And as we are one human race, we only require one religion, because our qualities are the same. They're the same basic characteristics. They're the same. The aspects of ourselves which don't change, which have to do with color or height or, you know, weight or type of hair or all these other kinds of things. These things come and go. They change with generations. They vary. And, you know, this is not what people are. People are, you know, the spiritual element which makes a human being a human being. This is something which is universal. And that's why, for example, you never had, as they had, for example, in the Dark Ages in Europe, there were debates as to whether women had souls. And this is something which never occurred, though Muslim civilization paralleled the European civilization and, you know, lived through that same era and that period. You never found this as an issue of debate. You know, Islam gave women their rights right from the very beginning. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, broke the traditions which existed in Arabia and which existed around the world at his time, you know, and gave women their rights as equal citizens before God. You know, equal worshippers of God. And this is what Islam has always stressed, while recognizing the real differences that do exist, that male and females are not the same, and they're different, and not equal in certain elements of intellect or elements of physiology. You know, there are differences which exist. And so Islam addresses these differences and allows human beings, you know, to function in a complementary way, you know, as opposed to trying to artificially make them equal in all respects, and then it becomes competitive. You know, it's one struggling with the other, you know, whose decision is going to rule. You know, when we can't agree, then it's just, you know, split everything up. So, you know, Islam does recognize the place of and role of women, you know, in society, you know, from 1,400 years ago, when people weren't even sure whether women had souls.
Wow. Sheikh, so before we go on to the next question, now if you're a true follower of the messengers of God, the ones who called to the same way of life, submission of yourself entirely to the one God, can you be a racist? Can you be, you know, having these racist rants?
Well, you know, I mean, I understand what you're trying to say, but, you know, I may not go all that way to say that, you know, can a person believe in God and have elements of racism or nationalism, you know, or classism in his heart? Well, yeah, it's possible. Why? Because, you know, we are also products of our societies.
Yes.
You know, when you're raised with these kinds of things from childhood, you might think you've grown past them, but in your times of weakness, in times of anger, etc., these things come out. You know, and it's really a lesson to cause one to stop and question oneself as to really, you know, where they're headed, you know, really what they're thinking, you know, what's really right and wrong, you know, where is that? It's obviously lost its bearing in that person's life. So, you know, I wouldn't want to say that you couldn't really truly believe in God and have elements of this. No, because from the Muslim belief, I mean, that's why we have issues of repentance, you know, where we commit errors and we turn back to God in repentance, that, you know, God can forgive us. We are weak. We do fall into error. We're not perfect. So these elements can be there. But of course, you know, for the person who truly believes in God, you know, this should be something under control to a large degree, you know, and kept down. And really, when people stray away from the teachings, the true teachings of God, then these things become stronger. These have a bigger place in one's life.
Bigger
and that's
place.
Why I say that, you know, Mel, you know, while at one hand, you know, presenting himself as a, you know, a staunch Christian defender of the faith, all this kind of stuff, you know, with the passion and everything connected with it, even when they had Jewish issues concerning it, he was, you know, standing firm and etc. But, you know, he's living with his girlfriend. You know, is this really a part of Christian tradition? You know, this is considered adultery, what he's involved in. You know, and according to proper and original Christian teachings, he should be killed.
According to that, that's according to the Christian teachings?
Yeah.
The original Christian teachings?
Sure. He should be killed. This is adultery.
This is adultery. This is in the Bible you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, so basically, you know, the Christian thing has sort of become, you know, as it is popular, we take from it what, you know, pleases us. You know, if it's just wearing a cross around my neck and, you know, calling on Jesus when I'm in need, you know, I mean, that makes me a Christian. I mean, that's, you know, that's what, you know, I'm going to espouse and that's what I'm going to be, you know, holding strong, etc. But the rest of Christianity, which requires me to struggle with myself, you know, if we're saying from the teachings of Jesus, you know, from the Jewish traditions, which came from Moses, etc., you know, which we believe is all the part of the same one religion of God, Islam, submission to the will of God, which God taught Abraham and Noah and taught the very first human being, Adam and Eve. So there's only one religion. And so those common values and principles are shared by all representations of that one religion, from the time of Adam till the last of the prophets, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him.
So, Sheikh, often you'll hear in the news that women in Islam are belittled, they're subjugated, they're oppressed. And now you have these tapes coming up and you'll hear the defender of Christianity, and we're going to separate Christianity from Mel, the person. But what does now Islam have to say truly, because you'll hear in these tapes?
You are hitting a woman with a child in her hands. You, what kind of man is that? Hitting a woman when she's holding a child in her hand, breaking her teeth twice in the face. What kind of man is that?
No, you're all angry now.
You're going to get to, you know what? You're going to answer one day, boy, you're going to answer.
That he's threatening her, that he busted two of her teeth, that he, you know, was threatening to physically come over and...
Bear.
What?
Nothing.
I'm not the one to threaten.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a rose garden, you. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it.
And do other things to her that are harmful to the woman. What does Islam have to say about this truly? And does Islam, as what they're thinking or saying, does Islam oppress women, subjugate women?
Definitely not. As I said before, it is an issue of complementary relationships. You know, that the man complements the woman, woman complements the man. And yes, the man is in a position of authority over the woman in the sense that there is some hierarchy. I mean, this is how societies are. This is how families are. This is how the world is. There is hierarchy. So there's no surprise that it would be within the very, you know, basic component of human society, the family, the individual that make up the family. So, that hierarchy is not a hierarchy of subjugation and oppression. You know, this is one of the reasons why, for example, I remember during the Gulf War when, I was involved with a group of brothers who were trying to explain Islam to the American troops. This is after the first the Gulf War with Kuwait, the incursion into Kuwait, where 500,000 American troops came to Saudi Arabia. And after the war was over, myself and a team of other brothers were involved in explaining Islam to the American troops. And one of the things that we did, we tried to remove this confusion which existed concerning the Muslim woman. The troops used to call Muslim women BMOs, or black moving objects, because they would be covered in the black veil. And, just as they had UFOs, they called them BMOs. So what we did was we took sisters, women, who were American military people, into Saudi homes. And we let them sit with Saudi women and see that side of the life there. The Saudi home is typically divided into two parts, one which is the male section and one is the female section. And, of course, men wouldn't normally go in the female section, except for family members if there are no guests. So the women would go in and see the inner workings of the home, the house, sit with the women, talk with them, discuss with them. And many of them came back amazed, saying, wow, we didn't know it was like this. That the woman is sort of like a, princess. She's taken care of hand and foot, whatever she wants. The husband's running out getting it. She doesn't have to work. Everything she wants is provided for her. So it's a whole nother story. And she was educated. They were able to carry on, conversations, intelligible conversations, discussing what's happening in the world, discussing what's happening with women. So, so it really blew a lot of their minds. That's why many of the women who went there came back out, ready to accept Islam. And they accepted Islam in quite large numbers.
Wow. Tell us now, is it safe to say that Mel Gibson's racist, violent behavior has nothing to do with Christianity? Is that safe to say that?
We would say, yeah, sure, it's safe to say that. And, to try to say it is a Christian thing, would be wrong.
That's
wrong. It would be unfair, it would be unjust. And in the same hand, to attribute whether it's acts of terrorism or whatever done by individuals who are Muslims, to attribute that to the Muslim religion, this is equally offensive and equally incorrect.
So there shouldn't be a double standard now. I mean, if as you said earlier in the show, if this was a Muslim, probably Islam would have been vilified. But now we want our brothers in humanity to be fair, to be fair and separate the actions of, say, a few bad apples that are in every bunch from the true teachings of Islam?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. This is what I think your show is trying to let people understand, that, Islam is a way of life which is worth looking into. It's not just a religion in the typical sense where you go to church or to the mosque or to the synagogue one day a week. No, this is a way of life that you live. So the teachings cover and touch each and every element and aspect of human life. There's guidance there. So we don't have to flounder around and, you know, blunder our way through issues. We have clear guidance to deal with family issues, to deal with, you know, individual issues, to deal with economic issues. You know, all the aspects of human life are covered in the Islamic teachings. And this is why it's really a religion in the fullest sense. It is truly a way of life ordained by God for humankind.
Shaytila, did you get a chance to, way back when this movie came out, Passion of the Christ, did you get a chance to view it?
I did view sections of it. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing. But, you know, I did view sections of it. And, of course, I mean, the suffering is seemed to be the major stress, you know, the physical suffering, which is attributed to Jesus that he faced with. But one of the interesting points that came out of it, because they took actors and had them speak in Aramaic. So when they had to speak about God, they referred to God as Allah, you know, and there was
this is in the movie, right?
Yeah, it's in the movie, in the subtitles. You know, it was an eye-opener that when I used to talk to people back then, I'd say, you know, you raise issues about Allah and that. Go back and listen to the movie and listen to what they're saying. Look what it's saying in the subtitles. Because that's the language of Jesus. Jesus referred to God as Allah. Allah. So, you know, that I thought was a cute side point, which I'm sure that was really wasn't Mel's example, you know, intention, but it came out and helped to bring this fact to people who stopped and reflected for a moment, because, you know, commonly people think that Allah is the God of Muslims, you know, as Buddha is the God of the Buddhists and Confucius is the God of the Confucianists and, you know, so on and so forth, that Allah is the God of Muslims. They don't realize that if you pick up a Bible, which is translated into Arabic, every place that it says God, Allah is written there in Arabic. So the Arab Christians refer to God as Allah. You know that. So when we're talking about God in Islam, they need to understand that it is one and the same in the sense that, of course, the creator, sustainer, you know, maintainer, all-knowing, transcendent, controller of everything is that same one God. But a God who doesn't become a man, because to become a man is to make him less than God. So he doesn't do ungodly things. You know, he doesn't have kids. I mean, this is what human beings, animals, etc. have.
Hey. Yes.
Because this is a human thing. This is an animal thing. So we don't attribute it. We don't want to say, well, if God can do anything, why can't he have a son? No, we don't go there. You know, because it's just as well saying, if God can do anything, why can't he go to sleep? You know, what happens if he goes to sleep? Or why can't he die? You know, why can't he be born? But because all these things contradict the very fundamental attributes of God, we don't ask these questions. We don't attribute these things to God.
Tell us, what do you think, since we're almost out of time, but your thoughts about the one point in the movie where they show what is allegedly Jesus, peace be upon him, and he's getting beat. He's getting spit on. He's getting humiliated. And they want to say that this was God's son or God, and really working up the emotions of people and saying, look, this is what he suffered for you. How would you respond to that shit?
Well, of course, from the Muslim perspective, it wasn't. This was not happening to Jesus, the son of Mary, you know.
You said son of Mary, not son of God.
Right, because that's who he was. He was the son of Mary. You know, son of God, terminology, of course, is a distorted misunderstanding of the term son of God in Hebrew tradition. Because if the Son of God is term is used for so many of the prophets before, whether it's David and others, you know, they're referred to as the Son of God, but meant really one who was close to God. You know, when you look at somebody, you feel him really close, you say he's like my son. You know, this is one of closeness, not one of genealogy. You know, so that whole son of God thing, and of course, in the Bible, they say, well, oh yeah, but you know, when they talk about David, son of God, the God is written with a small g. Whereas when it says son of God in terms of Jesus, it's written with a big G. Well, guess what? In Hebrew and Aramaic, there are no capitals. So somebody just did a number on you. You know, in that English Bible, they did a number on you by making capitals where there were no capitals. So, you know, this whole idea of son of God is something which has become distorted and playing on this idea of God sacrificing himself to himself for the sins of humankind. You know, this is something which has no basis in scripture. There is no basis in the Old Testament for this at all. This is something which is a part of pagan tradition where you sacrifice, you know, like the ancient Aztecs used to sacrifice virgins to the god of this and the other, and you know, ancient other pagan religious traditions have this human sacrifice. In Hindu traditions, you do have that. Still, people are practicing human sacrifices still today. In African, some African religions, you had that. In South America, in the South American Indian traditions. You know, so this is pagan, this whole issue of human sacrifice. You know, so this is not from the religion of God at all. God needs no sacrifice. You know, when we sacrifice in penance, you know, as a means of atonement for sin, we sacrifice and the meat is given to the poor, etc. We ask God's forgiveness. You know, we just as, you know, Moses, for example, was called on to sacrifice his son, but this was a test of his faith. God doesn't have him sacrifice his son. He has him sacrifice an animal instead, you know, and that is sacrificing out of the bounty which God gives. So, of course, for Muslims, you know, what they saw of Jesus being depicted in that way was something very horrible, you know, we don't have any tradition of this happening to Jesus. In fact, God saves him from the crucifixion and the torture, etc., that was supposed to have come to him. And he was not killed, as the Quran clearly states. He did not die. He was not killed there, nor was he crucified. But it only appeared that way to people.
Now, a couple more questions before we come to an end. Sheikh, we're talking about, for those who are just joining us, about Mel Gibson. Everyone knows Mel. He's one of the most famous actors in the world. But you see today that his life is falling apart. People are calling him a racist. He's got all the money. He's got all the fame. But happiness is something that maybe he'll never obtain. How can truly a person obtain happiness? Because many people are shooting for the stars. They want to be like Mel. They want to be like Gibson. They want to be like Brad. They want to be like J-Lo. But now they see, like many of them, are deteriorating in front of our eyes. And this is just one example how a person who has everything that money can buy, you'll see that person's life just in shambles. So how could someone truly have peace in life and happiness?
Well, true peace comes from within. It doesn't come from without. It's not something which we can attain by cars, homes, women, kids, money. All these external things, these don't really bring true happiness and contentment and peace in the heart, inner peace, peace of mind, etc. It doesn't bring it. And Mel is a classical example of it. Classical example of the consequences. And we know, as it states very clearly in the Quran, that it is only with the remembrance of God that hearts find rest, that hearts attain peace, that contentment comes. It is only through that realization of God as our creator and the only one deserving our total submission and worship. This is the only way that we find true happiness. When one makes that link, one finds that bond, then it doesn't matter what happens around you, whether your life, you know, goes into series of disasters, etc. Inner peace is attained, and the rest comes and it goes. And this is what, you know, Islam calls us to bring ourselves back to God and to submit ourselves the way that the prophets have taught us over the various generations from the creation, the time of Adam, that we seek the inner peace from the source of peace, and that is Allah, God, the creator and sustainer of this whole world. And He is merciful, and we need to know His mercies. We need to be grateful so that we don't fall into distress and we don't fall into self-hatred, hatred of others, jealousy, all these negative emotions as a result of not being able to recognize the bounties and blessings of God in our day-to-day lives. If we're able to open our eyes and see them, then we can find contentment in what we have. Because there are so many people, no matter how bad things are with us, who are worse off than us. As the Prophet, may God peace and blessings be upon him, had said, don't look to those above you, but look to those below you. In that way, you're more likely to remember the favors of God upon you.
Last question, and thank you once again for being with us, Sheikh Bilal Phillips. We want to know, for the listeners, how can they, and what advice do you give them when they're just bombarded from Fox News, from CNN, everything that they hear from the media is something negative. There's a big movement, it seems, trying to create this sensationalism and getting people scared. They feel like, uh-oh, Islam is coming. It's the boogeyman. It's coming to get you. Islamization of the world. They want to come and change your lifestyle. They're angry at the way you live, and they're coming to just take your rights away. And now, you know, they associate Islam with terrorism and things blowing up out there and, you know, creating fear and misunderstanding. But the person's tuning in, and he's like, these people seem very level-headed, and what they're talking about makes a lot of sense. What advice do you have for this individual or people out there that are getting bombarded from one end with all the negative things about Islam, and now they're confused which way to go?
Well, my general advice is to seek information from the proper sources. Get clarity. The information's out there. It is accessible. You just have to make an effort. Because, of course, the evil forces, satanic forces, you know, whatever, are trying to block your view, block the correct understanding. So you have to make an effort. We're not able to spoon feed you with it. We don't have the access to the media that the forces of evil, the satanic forces have. So it's not surprising that the view of Islam is distorted in the media. But you have to go beyond it. You know, everybody says, you know, you have to take the news with a grain of salt. You got to read between the lines, all these different advice that people give, because you can't trust the media with their sensationalism. You know, they're looking to sell papers, they're looking to sell their programs to get viewers. So the spicier the headlines or the show names or titles or statements of the people on the shows, you know, the more viewers, the more readers, the more money. So we have to understand that that has a life of its own. You can't trust it. I'm not saying you can't get any information from it. Don't go to the next opposite. But we have to take things with a grain of salt and looked to authentic sources, reliable sources, to find out, you know, what is the truth of the matter in this regard. So it's up to you. The means are there. You just have to make the effort. And if you make the effort, I can guarantee you that you will find Islam to be the true religion of God.
That makes a lot of sense. And we pray and hope that people like we did today, we separated the actions of Mel Gibson, the movie star, from Christianity. And I hope that people do the same when separating some people who might allegedly do something in the name of Islam from the true teachings of Islam. And can you tell us, Sheikh, you have a school that people can come to, a university actually, and learn more about Islam? And how can they visit this and get a hold of you if they needed to?
The Islamic Online University, which was set up really about 3 years ago, back in 2007, was an attempt to make Islamic knowledge readily available to people free, without any cost. And we started off with a number of short courses, certificate, diploma type courses. And alhamdulillah, the response to it, we have recorded lectures, audio lectures, texts, assignments are given, tests are there. You know, it's information, accessible information about Islam, free. And the response to it has been really massive. We have over 26,000 people now registered from over 177 different countries. And the numbers are just increasing every month. Just recently, we also began to offer a BA in Islamic Studies in March for people to come again and study tuition free. There's a slight symbolic cost that has been added for admission and examination, but you know, it's just really symbolic. The tuition is free, and alhamdulillah, many people are joining up. We're into the last half of the first semester. We've started registration now for the fall semester, which will be starting up in September. So we hope that people will take advantage of this opportunity to get authentic knowledge about Islam and be able to study it from the privacy of their own homes without having to get up and go anywhere. All the information is available for them. All the study takes place on the internet. This is the great blessing of the internet, though oftentimes we tend to focus on the evil of the internet. There is also great blessing there, and we can see it here in the ability now to spread correct information about Islam, you know, all over the world without any hindrance. And we ask Allah to continue to give it success and for people to spread the word and access and benefit from this source, and keep us in your prayers and your du'as. And we ask Allah to allow us all to die as true believers and leave this world in His grace.
Ameen. Thank you very much for finding the time again to be with us. May God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, as you mentioned earlier in the film The Passion, which Mel Gibson put together in Aramaic, Jesus, peace be upon Him, called that God Allah. So may that God, Allah, reward you.
Ameen.
Thank you very much. We started with peace. We end with peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmah.
Peace is what we need for you and me. Peace, the solution for humanity. Eternal.